long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hi. And hello.
It is live time.
Yay. It's Wednesday night. It's almost 8 o'clock. Close enough.
Yeah. I had to make TV.
Yeah.
So we pushed it back for a half hour.
Goddamn errands.
So suck it.
There's podcasts.
Suck it.
There are apps. Everybody will be okay. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
We are on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I'm also the best subscriber to the New Age Insiders.
I was just trying to do that before we went on.
Because I've been doing it for 10 months.
Ooh. Wow.
You can subscribe on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We tell people all the time. If you have Amazon Prime, you already have a Twitch Prime subscription, and you can use it. It doesn't cost you a penny. Amazon has to pay, not you. It's awesome. You can also subscribe regularly, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, and we have a patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We jump live on a feed after this, and there's an awesome podcast app they have, so, I mean, you can get everything, and if you're searching for even more, patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. But there's plenty to talk about. You saw, you finally saw The Lion King.
I saw The Lion King first.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Aladdin.
It was Aladdin. Took Aladdin. 14 years
Aladdin,
to see.
It took me forever.
Yeah, we'll talk. I liked it, but we'll get to it. I think the... Do you want to kick things off with Raw? This is old school feel in the air. What are we doing first?
Well, we were going to go with Phase 4 first,
phase
right?
Phase 4.
San Diego Comic-Con has come and gone. The most nerdiest time of the year has passed. It was... this past weekend over in San Diego, it was a ton of fun, a lot of news, and Marvel unveiled, now that Endgame is over and Spider-Man is out, that what Phase 4 will consist of. Before we get to that, though, I do want to shout out to Jedi, currently his honeymoon.
Yeah.
We got to go and hang out, go to his wedding over the weekend as well, and that was delightful,
mm-hmm.
and a ball of fire.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Like, it was hot as hell in that boat.
I felt
yard.
Like it was in a dryer the entire time.
Yeah.
It was so muggy.
I felt like I was in a Georgia peach.
Definitely huge congratulations to Jedi and to Emily, though, the new married couple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Jedi.
He proposed here, so, I mean, he might as well acknowledge it. But, you know, no, they're two awesome people, and just hope nothing
yeah,
but
Bill,
the best for
Bill
them.
Went and did the whole announcement.
That was terrific.
Announcing the wedding party into the same area we were already at.
Right.
So it was a little redundant, but we did it anyway, and Bill did a great job.
It was.
The only missed opportunity. Was for some odd reason they came out to Seth Rollins' music and not Roman Reigns.
Right.
I downright don't get it.
I don't either.
I downright don't get it. This was your moment. This would be like if I actually do get married, which who knows, but if I
you know what? That's progress.
I've
went from not happening to who knows.
I spent 5 straight years being like, never. But the point being, it'd be like if finally like that day actually happened, right? And then I came out to like Jericho's theme.
Yeah.
Like, no, man. You built this whole thing to come out to Bill Goldberg's theme.
You can't headbutt the door to Jericho's
theme.
Right.
Like, you can't just come out to The Rock now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Weird.
So it is strange.
It's weird.
Maybe it was a compromise.
I thought for sure we're going to see a fist bump and punch the ground.
I thought we were too.
Maybe it's a compromise.
At least before the ring presentation.
Like, maybe it was a compromise. And by compromise, I mean maybe Emily wanted it.
Yeah, right.
Which is most likely how... Which is how your life is going to go now.
Uh-huh.
That is how it goes.
So, enjoy that.
That is how it goes.
Enjoy that. When it comes to Phase 4, so with Marvel, here's the thing. There is a bittersweetness to the kind of the whole thing.
Right.
When it comes to Marvel, because you are going to say goodbye to actors and characters, right?
Right.
In this world, and I don't care if what you think now, this is no longer a spoiler. In this world, Iron Man is dead. Captain America is played by Sam. Here comes a big spoiler because they called it Love and Thunder. And
right.
Thor's going to be a girl now. I mean, I think they're going to give Mjolnir to Natalie Portman, and now we're going to go to female Thor. I really do.
We'll see what happens, because here's the thing. For those of us who have read the comics, that turns out real sad.
Right.
So we'll see how long long that plays out.
Yeah, but
for.
Here's the thing. I don't think she's going to make a long commitment to being female Thor.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. Yeah. And so you're 100% right, is that you look at this phase four, and there are several things that kind of stick out to me right away. One, the characters that you've know and love are not here, right?
Yep.
Absent from this is an Iron Man movie, is a Captain America movie, at least a Steve Rogers Captain America movie. There isn't a Spider-Man movie, and that's also partly because we just closed Phase 3 with it.
Yep.
There's no Avengers event film.
There's no real mention of the Hulk.
Right, you know, and so there's a lot of things happening here that are not necessarily what we're used to, which is very interesting. Another thing that sticks out to me right away, the first one is May of 2020. So for everybody that said that we've had a ton of superhero fatigue, you were right, but we're now taking a huge almost year break.
Right. And the other thing too, just to the bittersweetness here, because I want to, for people that are not gigantic nerds like you and me, and in the casual aspect, here's the thing. If you had told me literally 11 years ago that Marvel was going to launch their cinematic universe and that they were going to really try to pump these characters at you in a new and exciting way, I would have said, okay, well, that means to me, unequivocally, which your all-stars are Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Right.
And if you had sat down to me and said, we are going to make 10 years worth of movies, Spider-Man's going to get involved at the very, very end. The
right.
X-Men will be involved in no way, shape, or form other than the Scarlet Witch, who you've never heard of.
Yeah, right.
And I would have said, like, uh-oh, because who are we leading with? I'm like, well, our A-plus player is Iron Man. And I would have been like, you are screwed. You are screwed. Because if you were like, wait, you're going to tell me that the three most important Marvel characters in this world are going to be Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, you are screwed. And you know what they did?
It crushed it.
I mean, literally could not have done better. So
they are the highest grossing movie of all time.
Literally could not have done better.
Couldn't have done better.
So here's my point over here, is that if there's people like you've never heard of, like, let's just say, for example, guys like Adam Warlock, you start hearing rumors of that name, and female Thor, and Valkyrie is going to take a lead role, and you don't know much about Sam, but he's Captain America now. What I would tell you is that they took a bunch of C characters and made them A pluses. They're taking characters that are already more established, and Spider-Man is here. And the X-Men are coming.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, the opportunity where if it comes crashing down, maybe they can go talk to Dr. Hulk and ask him what he thinks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think familiar faces will still be able to show up. But my big point here is that they have been doing such a great job with characters that were lesser relevant this whole time.
Yeah.
That if you're somebody that's like, I don't really know much about Doctor Strange, it's like, don't worry about it. They're going to do a great job.
Yeah. Well, and you look at the entirety of this, everything starts in 2020, which is obviously next year. And like I said right before this, there is a couple of things missing from here. And the one that really kind of stands out to me is the event film, right? You know, we've taken the Avengers as these, like, you know, season finales to these phases.
Even Civil War.
Even Civil War, which everybody said was Avengers 2.5 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's not here. So I do think that this is going to be very interesting, and I think this, because we're taking a long break, we haven't gotten the full Phase 4 yet.
Sure.
Because there is a San Diego Comic-Con between basically when this kicks off, you know, and the next film, right? Because a lot of this is told between two different platforms, which I'm very excited about, because you're getting like the Black Widow movie, the Doctor Strange movie, the Thor movie, and those are all going to be like tentpole motion picture go to the movies to see.
Okay.
But then Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a TV show, and that's going to be on Disney Plus. Loki's a TV show.
Yep.
Wanda and Vision's a TV show. Hawkeye is a TV show.
Is it called Wanda and Vision?
Yes.
WandaVision.
WandaVision.
I hate that name.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a TV from the 50s.
Yeah, WandaVision?
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be really interesting to kind of see what ends up actually happening.
Yeah.
Because while this is a very exciting thing to look at on paper, it's even more exciting to be able to show that, you know, something like Falcon and the Winter Soldier are going to be great because it's going to do what S.H.I.E.L.D., like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. never could, and that's actually have Chris Hemsworth pop in. You know, like they were never going to put Thor in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
But it would have been badass if they did. And so I feel like Hawkeye and WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier have much higher production value that are going to allow them to do
They're also just going to be better because what they're going to be is it's going to be like the difference between like, I don't know, like Game of Thrones and other things. Where I'm not even a Game of Thrones guy, but the idea is what they do is they make this thing for HBO in every sense of the word. They don't feel like they have restrictions, and they don't make, as weird as this might sound, they don't produce the TV show with commercial breaks in mind.
Right.
They produce the TV show with movie-like segues in mind,
right,
which is different, and it matters. And for, just for example, right, in TV, a trope that you might never have noticed before, but now watch your favorite sitcom and you'll never unnotice it. When you come back from a commercial break, the first line is going to be a character recapping the previous scene.
Right.
They're going to find out that guy wasn't your dad, and then they're going to go, and then they're going to come back and be like, what do you mean that wasn't my dad? So if you just came back from commercial, you at least get a grip of the room.
Yeah.
And so you shoot TV with commercial breaks in mind, or you shoot TV cinematically with segues in mind. And as silly as that is, it matters. And so like a show like Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's meant for like TV right, is shot a certain way with a certain filter, certain vibe. These shows, I think, are going to be great because I don't expect boobs and swears. I'm not talking about that.
No, but they're not going to have commercials.
They're not going to have. They're going to be shot in a very. They're going to be shot the way you want a TV show to be shot without the restrictions. Like I said, it might sound weird, but like watch How I Met Your Mother, and they're going to come back from commercial, and the first line is going to be a recap of the previous scene. And all shows live that way, and I'm looking forward to it. And I just honestly am at the point now where. They just don't fail.
Also, I don't know if it. I'm not 100% sure what if is, but it's either going to be a special or it's going to be a show. And if
it's going to be a show.
And if it's a show, sign me the hell up.
Because it's supposed to be animated.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically just the alternate universe.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's you know where Spider-Man. What if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four? Yeah. And it's just like that's fun.
And just about everybody who's been in the Marvel movie so far is lending their voices to the characters.
Yeah, great.
So it's
great,
not going to be just random voices imitating or anything like that.
But as Camp WWE was. Right.
I liked that show.
It was good for the one season.
Yeah, the idea of them lending their voices to it, because you're right. There's just it has to be drawn,
because
it can't be produced. But it's cool conceptually. And one last thing, what do you think of Doctor Strange basically turning into a horror franchise?
I love it. Yeah. I love it because again, the WWE, fuck them. We'll get there. basically, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has done a great job of they're all movies that have superheroes in them, but they're all different. And the one thing we haven't had yet is a horror movie. We also got a thing that's not on here, and that's Blade. And we talk about Blade, and we get Mahershala Ali as Blade, and I'm on board with that because I love that guy.
Sure.
But yeah, like that's the one thing that's kind of been missing, right? We've had a heist movie, we've had an espionage movie, we've had an action movie, we've had a sci-fi movie,
a time heist.
We've had a time heist, but now we haven't had a horror movie, and so it'll be really interesting to see what the multiverse of madness is.
Yeah, I just like I said, I'm at the point now where I'm like, okay, everything you've done is good so far. So
yeah, right. You've built up enough like karma credits that it's like, yeah, Black Widow could be terrible, but you made Endgame, so
I'm just my whole thing with Phase 4, and I don't think anything has been announced. If it is, I didn't see it. I am just so completely okay with you being like, you know what stinks? There's never been an X-Men movie. We should just make an X-Men movie. You're right, they've never made one. Then none of them exist. None of them exist. Because guess what? They're all bad. Even that one you like, oh, come on, man, not that one. That one's bad, too.
Yeah, they're all bad.
Some of them are less bad than others because some of them are unwatchable, but they're all bad.
It's kind of like, all of them. It's kind of like we talked about it on that movie show, and Mike and I did the original Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire, and just because, you know, Far From Home was coming out, and we sat there and we were like, yeah, so like, we can stop saying that Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man movie, right? Because that movie's bad.
Yeah, the best Spider-Man movie now are the two new ones.
Or the two new ones.
And I thought the Andrew Garfield ones were better than Tobey Maguire's.
Yeah.
I did. I liked those
I thought he played Spider-Man very, very well. His Peter Parker was lacking.
Yeah, I thought I really don't like those Spider-Man movies very much, but yeah, you're right. Like the X, like I'm serious. That X-Men movie that somebody's at the radio being like, "No, man, not that one." No, that one's bad. Even if it's the best shit in the bowl, it's a shit.
Yeah,
and they're all. And I just want somebody that knows what they're doing to just be like, "Nope, starting over." And the only thing that you get to keep is if you want to hire Professor X to be whoever that is.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds can stay as Deadpool.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, because they haven't crossed over yet. Because, yeah, if you want to keep Negasonic Teenage Wasteland, or whatever her name is, and in Colossus, and keep his of those two, terrific. And Ryan Reynolds, and everything else has got to go. Everything else.
Yeah.
And hire Tom Cruise as Wolverine. I'm telling you, the guy's crazy. It's going to be so much fun. You get to have that guy method act as Wolverine.
Yes,
he's going to actually stab somebody. It's going to be the best. And he's going to insist on jumping out of a helicopter, even though it's not even in the movie. That's what I want. All right. So speaking of movies and keeping it a little bit retro with...
Right?
We had a retro Raw, and it was something.
I think... We have it on the TV. We're going to the Lion King.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have a screen in front of me.
No, okay.
Right. I thought we were breaking this, so we'll keep it. Well, I don't know where this is. It's not in my messages. So we'll do the Lion King.
The Lion King, and then we're going to talk about AEW. Then we'll take a break and go to Raw.
Wow. All right. That was not the list I thought we had.
And take two.
All right.
So, fun fact, the Lion King, the original one, is the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater.
Okay. I don't remember the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater.
Yeah, I just remember because I was confused and sad because Darth Vader was a lion.
Yeah, I did not remember that.
Pretty sure mine was either Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast, whichever one came out first. I think it was Beauty and the Beast. It was 91.
Yeah. I have no earthly idea what the first movie I saw in theaters was.
The Jazz Singer.
Thank you. I saw Singing in the Rain two weeks early.
God, I wish.
I
wish.
So
here's the thing. You can all suck it because it's not a spoiler because this is literally a beat for beat remake of a movie that came out in 1994.
It's not a spoiler. How can this possibly be a spoiler?
Oh, look, somebody's going to be pissy about it.
Insane.
Somebody will be pissy about it.
25 years old. Nothing different happens.
No.
This one is not a weird twist where Simba dies in the stampede. It's all up to Mufasa.
Look, the last time I saw that, it was crazy, and Martha Wayne was the Joker, and it was great.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing Flashpoint.
It was way more fun. But, The Lion King re-released this past weekend, and I have strong thoughts. Does anybody have any strong positive thoughts?
Oh, you have strong negative thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay. So here's my only negative on it. My only negative is I now kind of have realized, and this is just very introspectively.
Okay.
I was always convinced The Lion King was my second favorite Disney movie. Like it was like Aladdin number one, Lion King number two. Don't talk to me. That's the list.
Right.
I'm not so sure because what this does is it reminded me the same thing. I think I honestly get reminded of every time I watch the cartoon, which is it's a tale of two movies. Adult Simba is no fun.
Yeah.
And the second half is like, with The Lion King, the second half you really do just sort of get through it. There's fun parts, and I'm not telling you I'm bored or anything, but it's just, it's all sad, it's all serious, and it's just like,
It really takes a turn for the Hamlet.
Yeah, we really front load the fun.
Yeah.
But as far as a motion picture, I mean, I thought I was in a movie where they hired animal actors to perfectly recreate this thing. I mean, I don't think it could have looked any better.
Yeah, other than that, the problem that I have with it is that the movie lacked a lot of heart that the cartoon, I felt, had.
Okay.
Mostly because, look, these lions and these animals were fantastic. They looked amazing. Because, like you said, they looked like they had very, 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 very well-trained animals just doing this stuff.
Yep.
But because of that, there weren't any facial expressions on any of the animals, so when they did talk, it felt like it was lacking emotion.
Yeah, the only time you really saw the mouth prominently move was when they were roaring or like opening their mouth to like sing something.
Right, and it that lost a lot.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying
and
with that.
And so that for me took out a huge bit of it. Beyonce, look, Can You Feel the Love Tonight was fantastic, but Beyonce in this movie was jarring.
Okay.
And it was just weird having Beyonce in this movie. I will say that having Childish Gambino was a better adult Simba than Matthew Broderick. But
I don't think either one of them crushed it.
But I did miss Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, I didn't think Donald Glover did a great job, to be honest with you, because like I don't know what I was expecting, but it just sounded like Donald Glover.
Yeah,
it was just like if you closed your eyes, it was just like, yeah, man, can you believe it? I might have to go home and save my people.
I know. Just like, see, I think it's just because
give me a little oomph here. You know,
I think
what
it's
mean?
Just because I love Donald Glover right. so much.
I like him a lot too, but really, if you think about it, it's just like,
yeah,
you're right. Timon Pumbaa, this is my friend. It's like okay,
the one
okay,
that
man.
Killed me the most was Billy Eichner and. Not being Nathan Lane.
Oh, see,
I thought Billy Eichner did a great
job. I definitely think there was more of an implication that they were a gay couple.
It was different.
Yeah. I thought that there was definitely a heavier implication that Timon and Pumbaa were a gay couple.
And it felt less Broadway.
The problem that I had was, like, in the Aladdin, right, the live-action Aladdin, I'm visually looking at, like, real people. Mm-hmm. So I can differentiate the fact that, like, Will Smith is this genie, it's different, he did a great job, but it's different. I'm looking at a meerkat talk, and it's like, nope, you don't sound right. No matter what you do, you don't sound right.
So here's definitely, I think, an editorial note that is worth pointing out here is that it's you can't have it both ways, but you bring back Mufasa.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so now there's this sort of vibe.
Right.
But everybody else is different. So Robbie's the same, but who cares? Right. She has like three lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Because it's like, look, if you were alive and you're going to bring back James Earl Jones, yeah, you should bring back a lot of other people. Like, Jeremy Irons would have been better as Scar.
See, I don't have a problem with the Scar we got because I've never understood why Scar was from London, Zimbabwe.
He wasn't as gay, and I missed it.
In my whole life, I never got why Scar was like, oh, yes. Oh, Mufasa, no.
He came from the same place Jafar came from.
They come from the same part.
Really, Aladdin.
Yeah, but that's I never understood why, like,
yeah, right.
Scar was just like,
yeah,
British.
Yeah, right. Mufasa wasn't.
While we're on the Scar topic, Brennan 023 in the Twitch chat says, I didn't like the new Be Prepared.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, they phoned that one in.
They phoned
but
that
here's
one
the thing in.
You also couldn't have Nazi.
Or what they also tried to do is, I know this sounds stupid because it's lions, but they tried to make it like realer.
Yeah.
To the point where like, I just can't wait to be king. He was just running with a bunch of animals and leaves and butterflies.
There wasn't a procession.
Right. He didn't electric slide down a giraffe. You know what I mean? Because they wanted it to give a sense of realism. So if this line had all of a sudden just been like, I don't belong in your territory, but I brought a tune. You know what I mean? Like, and all of a sudden the geysers are going off rhythmically.
There's a pig pile of animals.
They just wanted it to be more realistic, I think.
The other part, too, is that the only thing about the Be Prepared scene itself is that it did what a lot of these movies have been doing. And it fills in a lot of the gaps, right? The Be Prepared scene actually shows the union of these two.
I did like that.
Not like Scar has always been
working with the hyenas. Right.
You know what I mean? And
he had something for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You want Mufasa dead, you've got your reasons. I want Mufasa dead, I got my reasons.
And we'll do
the
it
only
together.
Way we're actually going to get this done is together.
Right. And then actually having Nala like have her thought process as to like, why do I have to go? Where am I going? What am I doing? Just having a little bit of character motivation definitely did help. Beyonce was just jarring.
Star of the show was Zazu.
Yes, it was.
I love John Oliver. And
he's fantastic.
And Zazu was the best one.
The woodpecker line killed me. I saw it again, and that killed me again.
It was funny because, and I don't know if they intended it this way, but every single time that he was like, yeah, I had a cousin, and he seems like he was a woodpecker. He thought he was a woodpecker.
Yeah.
I kept thinking of the chicken from...
Moana,
hey.
I for some reason I'm in my head I'm like, are they gonna have he and hey be related somehow? Because he's just a dumbass.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that would have been so funny. My cousin, it was just this idiot chicken.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's still possible.
I mean, it's possible.
But good. I would recommend seeing it.
I mean, why not? In a world of like subscription-based theater services, whether it is AMC A-List or Showcase Cinema, Showcase Subscribe, I'm contractually obligated to tell you that you can see 3 movies a month for $16.99.
Ooh,
but the better deal is Stubbs A-List.
Yes.
It's the way better deal.
Yep.
It's $20 and it's 3 movies a week.
Yeah, I know.
It's not even close.
And any format too, which is the best part. I've seen so many movies in like Dolby and IMAX that I wouldn't have paid for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The only good thing about the Showcase subscribe that over the AMC is that you can have multiple people. So like my subscription is for 2 people. So if if I have a friend or a guest or somebody, if like we want to go see a movie, I can just get the tickets and we don't have to do that thing that we end up always having to do with AMC A-list where it's like, all right, I'm getting seat E5.
They log into your app and get E6.
Yeah, you need to get E6 and E7, but don't get E4 because that's that weird chair divide and it's not the same.
All right.
Love it.
All right. So something that was old that is once new again and new in general. New. There's a lot of new things going on. Subscription services, like you said. And starting in October, something pretty new and pretty exciting is coming around the bend as AEW is starting to get more and more confirmation of what their programming is going to look like and where you can find it. We knew that it was going to be on TNT.
And they're going to the White House.
Yeah. Exactly.
Are they really?
I don't know. That's on the graphic.
It's the graphic, yeah. Oh. They're going to. It's Washington, D.C. That's where the event is.
Yeah.
But there's a giant White House.
There's just a giant White House and flags. And Jericho looks like an evil supervillain that's taken over the White House.
Did you see their TV? Did you see their TV guide photo?
No.
Where they look like they're having like a Family Matters reunion. It's like a weird photo. And like the people they chose to be in it, like, MJF's not in it, but like it's an interesting
TV guide still exists.
Yeah, like literally go to Cody Rhodes' Twitter and it's just this weird, very,
I don't know, is it as weird as that?
No, because it's a candid shot. It's like them, like again, it looks like if like let's just say we're gonna do a step-by-step reunion and we brought everybody back for the TV guide shot.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's what it is. And it's just strange because like, yeah, like the Khans and the Bucks and Cody are there, but like MJF isn't, and just an interesting collection of
people. Oh, I see what you mean.
Why does Cody always have a black eye?
I don't know.
I think it feels that way, doesn't it?
People really like punching
Brandy
Cody Rhodes.
Beats him, maybe.
Maybe. It seems like a thing that they're just into, I guess.
It's going to be Wednesdays on TNT.
Yeah.
What do you think of AEW?
Oh, yeah, look at that. Like Jungle Boy's in it.
Yeah, right. It's a weird collection, right? Because you don't look at that and you think, okay, those are definitely all
and
there.
And Michael Nakazawa?
Yeah. But where's MJF? That's the name that sticks out to
me. Where's Hangman Page?
Yeah, right. Where's that guy? They love him.
Where's Jericho?
It's an interesting photo, isn't it? But isn't it also very much like, that's right, everybody, we're bringing back Urkel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It also, like, Cody looks like this show could be called My Albino Son.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is just much darker than Cody.
Yeah. I'm just assuming that he's going to have a show called Hot for Bleacher, where it's him and that stupid hair.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's on Bleacher Report Live, and they're just going to work it out together.
Makes sense.
But AEW now, I mean, as things progress, they become more and more official. It goes from like All In last year, you know, September 2018?
Yes.
So not even this time a year ago, it was, well, this was such a success, maybe you should start your own promotion. By the new year, it was, hey, I think we're going to do it. By the spring, it was, we are doing it. Now you have the announcement where it's just like, okay, you know, TV deal is done, date and time announced, TNT is super on board. You know, it's weird because we've known this, but like it's happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just so, what do you think of them being on Wednesdays and TNT and all of it?
It's a good call. You know, we'll see what ends up happening in terms of like the rest of the world of wrestling. But yeah, it's gonna break everything up. It's gonna feel different. Having it not compete directly with Monday Night is the best thing in the world. You know, hopefully they stick to that and don't let Hulk Hogan show up because he's like, yeah, now we got to go rekindle the Monday Night Wars.
See, that's the best thing about Cody is just like, because I know the point your reference you're making completely was it's TNA. Yeah. But like with Cody, like the thing is like maybe to a fault, because I'll be the guy that says it. I think AEW might be trying a little hard to be the most woke guy in the room sometimes. Yeah. Whether it be Nyla Rose, whether it be just
Sunny Kiss.
Right. You know, but things that don't even bother me. It just like I'm just talking about like even good things. Like I don't have a like at all. This is a positive thing. I'm saying this in a positive connotation, but like they were giving out bags that were like sensory deprivation. So like if you get overwhelmed here, earmuffs, and it's just like they're definitely, for better or worse, trying very, very hard to be like
inclusive.
Crazy woke. Right. Crazy woke. Right.
And they have sensory rooms. Right. So if it gets too much, you can go and it's like
They're trying to be just like
beanbag chairs.
Exactly. And I don't think Hulk Hogan fits anywhere here at all. Because it just a lot of that like There's that picture floating around, and it's true. You see the picture of Booker T, like Hogan's hugging somebody, and he's just mean mugging him. Like, I hate you, dude. Like,
I
hate that we're celebrating you.
Yeah.
And so, just a editorial note. I don't think get to worry about seeing Hulk Hogan in AEW.
Yeah.
Yes. That's that was definitely not the reference, but yes.
I know exactly what you mean. The kind of guy they're going to bring in is Bret Hart. Because if it's like, hey, Bret, go tell everybody Vince McMahon's stupid. He's like, God, I'm already in the ring.
I'm there.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's a good thing. You know, the biggest thing that AEW can do, and it's what TNA was doing before Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, was like, we're going to make a square ring and go to Mondays because competition, right? And it's just like, no, Hulkster, no. They're going to just give you the alternative. This is what independent wrestling that fan base likes, and we're going to put it on TV. We have a millionaire backer that's going to allow us to put Ring of Honor on a major network, right? Because Ring of Honor couldn't get on the major network. TNA got it and then fumbled the football at the 1 yard line. And I feel like the creative minds and the executive vice presidents, as much as a joke that is on the show, they have a better head on their shoulders and have an actual vision for what they want this to be. And it's not a Raw clone. It's something different.
Yep.
And as long as it's something different and as long as they march to the beat of their own drum, it'll be very interesting to watch and something that is frankly going to be far more refreshing than the bullshit we got on Monday night.
Here's the thing. I will be the other side of the table on AEW and tell you that my hopes are less high than I think people may want to sit and hear me say. Because here's why. Because right now, we're in this weird place where, you know, and we're feeling it too, and we'll talk about that, you know, sooner than later. But wrestling's bubble is about to burst.
Yeah, I would say it already bursted.
There was this renaissance that started around 2011 and 12. I have to give this guy credit and take a big gulp. Maybe CM Punk started this whole new, like, oh, shit, what did he say? And, you know, bring right. people back, and maybe let's draw the line in the summer of 2011.
Yeah.
And then there was this renaissance, right, where it got bigger and to the point where Vince McMahon could put 100,000 people at WrestleMania, and it was just like there was this new bubble, right? And we got this network, and it's never been easier to get the content and all this.
It's cheaper to get the pay-per-views.
Podcasts exploded and new people, right? It's just, whoa, right? And I actually think it's bursting because here's the problem here now is the WWE, and whether you want to hear it or not, I'm right. I don't care, person at home. I'm right. They set the market every single time, every single way, every single day. WWE sets the market. When the WWF is doing well, that's when wrestling does well. When the WWF was at its peak in the 80s, that's when other companies were able to survive, thrive. That's when WCCW was able to turn to WCW, get a cable deal, and thrive because you were in love with Hulk Hogan and wrestling, Andre the Giant and wrestling, right. And so more, more, more. And there's obviously the Southern fan base. But what I'm saying is when the World Wrestling Federation's at an apex, everybody eats at the table. When the WWF started to, you know, slump down, the business was in trouble. Then they picked it right back up in the late 90s into the early 2000s and have never looked back. But when the WWE was like cruise control, blah, in those years, there were other companies that existed but weren't thriving. Ring of Honor was doing amazing things in a gym with no cameras. You know what I mean? Somewhere there's a match where Samoa Joe took on Daniel Bryan that was the greatest wrestling match in the whole wide world, and 110 people saw it, and it's not on film, right?
Yeah.
That's the era. But what I'm talking about is right now, WWE, the viewership is dwindling. And here's the thing I've noticed on Twitter. I have not noticed, and I've been looking for it, was all these people to rush over to AEW. And I don't think that all these angry Twitter accounts, I think all they're actually doing, most of them, is just tuning Raw off and not going to AEW. And you're like, well, they don't have a show yet. You're right.
Yeah, that's the only caveat.
But I don't think that, like, even their free stuff over the last month or so, I haven't seen people go just insane for it. I've seen a lot of people just be like, good shows, fun stuff. But wrestling's about star power. And until they really, really make a star, not named Chris Jericho, who's the only actual one, I think they're going to have a tougher road than people think. That's just me.
Yeah, well, the problem is that AEW doesn't have a show right now, so it's really hard to kind of say that. People are excited. The reaction of them announcing when the show is, you know, people got excited about. So your argument needs to be reassessed. In, you know,
I'm just looking
December.
At like, I'm just looking at, yeah, you're right.
Right. It needs to be assessed in December because we don't have the sample size. It's a great hypothesis, but it's the sample size isn't there yet because, yeah, people watched All In, people watched Double or Nothing, people watched Fight for the Fallen, people watched the one in between, which was
the Fighter Fest.
Fighter Fest, right? People watched those, which is all you can ask for.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
And so, yeah, they don't have the same sample size as WWE. The problem is with WWE is that their show is bad. And what's ended up happening is, I think, something very different than what had happened in the past. Now it's very cheap to get high quality cameras. So I can maybe, I don't necessarily gravitate to AEW right away, but we're in New England. And you know what? Maybe I'm really into Beyond. Beyond Wrestling is hosting a television show right now while we do this show. And they have high definition cameras that you can watch. And I think that everything's getting spread thin. And I think what's happening at the top is people are turning it off and are not tuning back in, but that's also because there isn't a television equivalent.
I agree with you. So I do agree that this is the first time in, without exaggeration, sorry, TNA, but this is the first time in almost 20 years where there's going to be like another TV show that feels like this might actually be my favorite. Because there were some people that like TNA was like, Impact was their favorite show, but I think it were 30% or less. There's a chance that this could be a much, much bigger slice of the pie. My only thing is, you are right. We need a real sample size here. But I hypothesize that let's just say there are 100,000 unhappy people.
Right.
I think 80% of them are inclined to turn wrestling off rather than go find something else. Because the reality, too, is like I said, we know that MJF is awesome and Hangman Page is awesome and all this stuff. But like the average person,
they just don't know who they are.
And you're asking them basically to start over.
Right.
Get used to all new people and all new refs and all new vibes. And a lot of people, if they're in their late 20s or 30s, just don't want to. Because I made this comparison on Twitter about a week ago, and it got a good response because people seem to agree. You know what WWE might just be to a lot of people? Is The Simpsons. The Simpsons used to be my favorite show. Sunday night at 8, that is where I am. Watched every repeat, came home from school from 7 to 8 o'clock. There were two repeats on Fox 25. That was the last thing I watched before bed. My favorite show. I haven't watched The Simpsons in over 10 years. It isn't funny to me anymore. When I watch it, it's unrecognizable. I just missed the first 8-9 seasons, and it's not for me anymore, right? So what I did was, in theory, and I know this is not a great example, but I didn't just be like, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a ravenous Family Guy fan. I just became somebody that didn't watch The Simpsons anymore.
Right.
And what I think a lot of wrestling fans are going to do, the majority of them, unfortunately, are just going to turn 30 and turn it off.
Yeah, and you're probably right, because I've said this a billion times, so I am a broken record when it comes to this, but the point is very, very simple. Television has gotten smarter. Television has gotten smarter. Mm-hmm. In 1990, it was easy for the Jerry Springer Show to just have two rednecks get up there, you slept with my sister, and let's fight.
No one had ever seen it before.
Right? No one had ever seen it before, so there's no dynamic storytelling there. It was just nonsense. But then The Shield comes out, not the wrestling faction, but the Michael Chiklis Show, Sons of Anarchy, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Oz, you know, Sopranos, all of these shows with very in-depth, complicated characters and stories. And it's, oh my God, Lost.
Dexter.
I can go on and on. And so now all of these lengthy, long storytelling shows, even something like How I Met Your Mother, has to tell a overall arcing story because I need to keep everybody invested as opposed to these 30-minute chunks that something like A Family Matters.
Friends.
It's like, we exist in these 30 minutes, and this is what it is. We don't exist from episode to episode. If we do, it's a big deal, you know? But TV audiences, though, that type of sitcom all but went away. And everything has repercussions, and everything means something, and characters evolve and change and learn and grow on all of these other shows. But yeah, Mick Foley got attacked on Monday Night Raw by Bray Wyatt for whatever reason. And we're never going to know how Mick Foley feels about it,
yeah.
What that means for Bray Wyatt, because he's just going to attack somebody else.
Yeah, like even and, like the big stuff. So like this is an example. In, I know it's almost 3 weeks old or whatever now, but like it's things that aren't nerdy. Like nerdy things to me are like when people roll their eyes at me and go like, man, you're a nerd for this stuff. Or when I'm like purist about like titles and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, come on, the whole thing's fake. And I understand that, although I do believe that this is, so it's like, here's how I compare it, right? The Infinity Stones are fucking stupid.
Yes.
That the energy is made out of six rocks. You know, the universe is made out of six rocks. That's stupid, right?
Yeah.
But we made this world,
yes,
where every single character goes, those are important, hugely important, the most, yeah, important, right? And not one person rolled their eyes, not even the goddamn raccoon, rolled their eyes and went like, come on, man, they're rocks. Everybody went like, oh, shit, the rocks. And so the Infinity Stones are unbelievably right, important, right? And so it, they don't even have, like, with WWE, they don't even have the idea that, like, so that's nerdy too,
yeah, right?
But it's important. And with WWE, their nerdy stuff, like, right, like Roman Reigns at one point in time retired The Undertaker, beat him, goes, and not only that, but made sure declaratively the next night said, everything that was his is mine now. It's my, yeah,
right,
yard now.
Like, right,
this was that guy's locker room for 30 years.
And now it's mine.
And now it's mine. Right. Suck my big dog, right, reared chapstick dog dick. I am, this is mine now, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but, so why would The Undertaker tag with that guy against Shane McGoddamn Man, you know,
right,
who we already beat?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And that's the kind of stuff where it's like, I don't think it's stupid that, like, if all of a sudden, right, it was just like, yeah, okay, so we're, like, let's just say in Endgame, right?
Yes.
It was just like, yeah, no, we had that weird little Maw guy that walked around Thanos and everything,
yeah,
being like, oh, you are so lucky to be with Thanos, right? It's just, yeah, like,
right,
oh, and this one, he's helping Cap.
Yeah, right. Doesn't make sense.
Why? Oh, it's right, just because, you know,
right,
ratings or some reason that doesn't make sense. So, like, it is things that, like,
right,
I'm telling, like, look, I understand that, like, Roman Reigns retiring the spooky zombie man is as silly as rocks that comprise the universe.
Right.
But if you don't take it seriously,
then
how can I?
Right. And that's basically what I think, just to kind of bring it back to AEW,
right,
and all,
right,
of their stuff, right, is, you know, AEW to this point, those things matter. And so it's at least they're taking the evolution of storytelling and character a bit more seriously. And so I hope
kayfabe matter here.
Right. And so I hope that fans that are going to turn it off will see that, because they'll at least give it a shot, because it's on Wednesday. So it's not even competing with their favorite show.
Right. And the best
or
thing,
former favorite show.
And the best thing about AEW in this scenario to me, and because I agree with you, is going to be that I think kayfabe is going to be a priority, right? They're going to want to feel like a wrestling show. And that works for me, because on the second side of that coin is, I don't think this roster, and I, you know, I'm not being disrespectful, I don't think this roster is ever going to be as famous as the WWE roster. Ever. Not ever, right? Not ever. And that's a good thing. Because one of the reasons why nothing matters in the WWE is because I think Vince McMahon is afraid that you're going to think it's silly, and these people are celebrities on the Today Show and making appearances with reality shows.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, do we go all in on Mondays with storylines when they're basically real people 6 days a week? And I don't know. With AEW, I don't think that MJF is ever going to break character, ever. Not in,
yeah,
anything that guy ever does for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it matters. I am so okay with the idea of Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and getting together and being like, we got to fight over rocks because it's captivating. So if Jungle Boy, you know, needs to take on Chris Jericho to prove something here and all that stuff, I want to watch that show. I do.
Right.
I want to watch a wrestling show.
I want to watch Mortal Kombat.
I know everything is stupid. Wrestling is stupid. I know it's stupid.
Right.
Bray Wyatt looks stupid. The Undertaker is stupid. Kane is stupid.
Stone Cold stupid.
Right, exactly. Everybody's stupid. The whole thing's dumb. Everything about it's dumb.
Yeah.
Kane is my favorite wrestling story ever and the stupidest thing in the world. You got burned like 25 years ago.
You haven't gotten over it.
You sat around in a basement. Paul Bearer knew where you were. You've been eating, what, mice or something?
But you went to high school.
Who made your gear? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
didn't show up and find that mask.
Right. You didn't show up in, like, burned, tattered jeans. You know what I mean? You look like a goddamn, you look like the Phantom of the Opera from hell. And yeah. And you know what I mean? And so, like, that's silly, but I'm here, man.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Watching a silly
again,
show.
Willing suspension of disbelief.
Absolutely.
We're watching Braveheart, and Braveheart's about to take on the British. And then aliens showed up. It's like, well, that's not the movie we were talking about.
Right, exactly. That's it. Where it's just like, I accept you, wrestling. If you sat down
I don't care what the rules are.
Right.
You just need to tell them to me and stick to them. And it feels like AEW does that.
If these six rocks are important, great. It'd be right. To AEW, to their credit, I think it's going to matter. I really do think this is going to feel as overly simplistic as it is. It's going to feel like a wrestling promotion run by Dusty Rhodes' kid.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is a compliment.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll talk about a show that was not run by Dusty Rhodes' kid, although full of people that were as old as Dusty Rhodes, if not older, and perhaps even deader. The New Age Insiders will talk
at least
about
inside.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Raw reunion. We are right back. Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
This was the most fun I had watching Monday Night Raw in like 5 years.
See, you
for like 2 minutes.
See, you know what the problem is, though? I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but that show was really good. It was the first show that, with the show where they electrocuted Bobby Lashley was good. That was a good show.
Yeah.
And then even I think it was last week's was like a good Raw. Like, that's the thing about this is it's, we'll talk about all sorts of stuff, I'm sure. But the problem is that they were on a nice little roll. And then they do this, which was well-intentioned, but I just think amiss.
Oh, well, this just shows just how out of touch WWE actually is. Because, yeah, you told everybody that Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and 2000 Triple H were all going to be there, right? And people get excited about that because guy at the bar, right, that we talk about with Ronda Rousey, that guy hears, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin's going to be on Monday Night Raw. And immediately the thought process as to what that means is Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to come in and whoop a bunch of ass and we're all going to clap and cry and have a great time. He's going to flip people off, drink some beer, and that's going to be the end of it. Or he's going to start something new and it's going to be exciting. What we ended up getting was Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out, which was awesome, and everybody, you know, huge nostalgia feels. But then he got in the ring and was just like, I love all you old bastards. And it's just like, oh, so you haven't done anything to help anybody.
This is of all the sins that I do think happen on Monday, this is the biggest one. That, like, look, you are searching, I still think actively, even if they think they're done, I don't think they are, for the dude.
Right.
Because here's the thing, just like realistically here, and this isn't editorialized, this is just an observation of what I'm viewing. Roman Reigns has taken a major step back this year.
Yes.
Right? And while I still stick by my prediction that he will beat Brock Lesnar for this Universal title, and that he is still a big part of their plan, and I guess the top guy, whatever, whatever, he is not like
slam dunk.
Right. And I don't think he's like, I don't even think they're really presenting him as like a reason to watch. This week on SmackDown, he was the Shane McMahon made you face him guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Seth Rollins, I just don't think is a capital S star. No. I think he's an outstanding pro wrestler and not a capital S star. And so here's my point. Right now, you got one cooking. And it's Kevin Owens.
Yes.
You've already put a major championship on him, and you've already told me you like him, and he's won the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title and all that stuff, right? And so he's already a big deal. And this guy right now is out here giving stunners to McMahons.
Yes.
How in the world did he not do stereo stunners where Austin gets Vince and he gets Shane?
I'm not even asking.
But that's how we get a guy over.
No, that is how we get a guy over. But that's, I'm not, I know what I'm watching, and I'm not even asking for that. Right?
Why? I think that's so reasonable.
Because Austin can't do it. Because, again,
he can't give us somebody a stunner?
No, he can't do any of them. Because his back and neck and ass.
He gave a stunner the last time we did this.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody wasn't medically cleared because they're all old and broken down, right? And so, realistically, I'm okay if that's not what happens, right? Yes, in a perfect world, you're right. That is exactly what we need to do. But let's just say we can't do it, right? Having Stone Cold Steve Austin at least pull Owens aside in a backstage segment, being like, you know, remember when Goldberg and Brock were feuding right before WrestleMania 20? Mm-hmm. And Austin walks up to Goldberg and goes, hey, man, here's a ticket to No Way Out. And I don't know if I was there, I'd go there. But who knows what would happen after that? And it's very much just like, yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin would go and jump the barricade. You know what I mean? So Goldberg should go and jump the barricade. And something similar to that, right? Where it's just like, hey, man, like, I know what it's like with these McMahons. So keep doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? And even that little bit of a rub is better than, and then I opened the door and Mark Henry was there. And oh, boy, you thought we were in love and we were gay, but we ain't gay.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I saw Ron Simmons and I said, damn, can you believe it? Because he says, damn.
Yeah, and it's like,
and no. I look like I'm 1,000 now, and that's depressing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And but you're right, because like, so my optimal scenario, because like, again, you could be 100% right, but that like Raw, what was it, the 1,000,000th episode of Raw?
Yeah, right.
He stunned Vince McMahon this year. Seriously,
yeah, technically,
seriously, him and Shane.
Yes,
he stunned them both this year. Right?
That yes, yeah. 360 something.
He did, but he also tore his tricep and bicep when he stunned at 32. So it's hit or miss for Steve Austin now.
So here's my best case scenario. Like I said, I'll take Vince and you take Shane. And we're going to give dual stunners and drink beer. And you're going to look like a million, a billion bucks. You know what I mean? And that's actually the point of this whole thing.
Yes.
We've been around wrestling long enough and helped independent companies or whatever long enough to know that everything should have a purpose. And when I bring a guy in, it has to have a purpose. When I bring a guy in, yes, it has to have a purpose. And so when you bring in Steve Austin, all you did was have people go, oh, I'll tune in for him. And the point of bringing in these guys should always, always, every single time be to benefit somebody else now. So you bring in Kurt Angle because guess who benefited tremendously from Kurt Angle's comeback? More than anybody, Baron Corbin. Because yeah, that guy can walk around and go, haha, I retired a guy you like. Haha.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you had brought in Kurt Angle, and I know people hated it because they hate Baron Corbin, but if you had brought in
Kurt Angle, which is also the point.
Right. If you brought in Kurt Angle to beat Baron Corbin, that didn't actually do anything to anybody. You know what I mean? We've had Kurt Angle win lots of matches. We did it with him. It's time to do it with somebody else. When you bring in guy, you know, Goldberg probably shouldn't have been the guy to beat Kevin Owens, but at least it went to Brock. You know what I mean? We had a plan. Goldberg coming back to fight The Undertaker was futile.
Yes.
And failed on every level, right? So Steve Austin to me coming in was a great example of a bunch of things. Where I can only speak for experience, and I'm not trying to be down on them because I want people to like the show, and if they do, I want them to keep watching. But to me, I understand that Monday Night Raw really most of the time is The Simpsons. I used to really, really like this show.
The problem,
and I don't really recognize it a ton anymore.
And the problem is that back in the early 2000s, we had a finite number of channels that we could go to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case anymore. You know, if I don't like Raw, there are 1,000 other channels,
yeah,
you know, that I can watch.
I'd rather sleep.
You know, yes. Well, you can definitely do that.
I'd rather sleep.
But there's that. There is video games, right? That if the same there's a lot of that crossover with that demographic, right? And it's like, yeah, why watch a terrible show that I don't like the narrative to when I could play something like Red Dead Redemption, which is all about narrative.
Right. And I get that completely because you're right. And I really do want to like this show. And I think this roster is incredibly talented. And I think AEW has a shot to really kick this whole business right in the ass. I do. But yeah, I must admit, I'm going to say something good about the Raw reunion just so this whole thing isn't just a rain cloud. But so what the Raw reunion reminded me of is you know, that wrestling is incredible and that there are people in this world that are some of my favorite pop culture icons ever. So like my personal pop culture icons include like Batman and the Green Ranger and Spider-Man. And yeah, they do include Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker. For a long time, it included Hulk Hogan. Not so much anymore, but I will not lie to you and tell you that when I was 8, I thought this way about that man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, again, Hulk Hogan's pretty great. Terry Bollea is terrible.
Right, just the worst. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, it's bittersweet because I think at this point, Dolph Ziggler's promo this week was awesome where he goes, hey, Sean, you know what you did when you went to Saudi Arabia? You embarrassed yourself.
Yeah.
Because he was right. DX is it... How are you not depressed watching D-Generation X now? They used to be a bunch of 25-year-olds going around causing hell. Now they're all in their 50s, and they look like they just don't know how to let go. Like, yeah, you look like guys that, like, still go on guys' weekend. You know what I mean? Right. And, like, try to score. And, you know, it's like, dude, it is over. Yeah, Holy crap with your leather jackets and being all fat and white. You know what I mean? Like, it's done, man. And the NWO coming out and looking like Scott Hall, you look 85 years old.
Oh, I know.
You look awful, man.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash, you finally did it. You turned around to look all the way like the real Zeus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, Ric Flair is a old Ric Flair candle that's almost done melting. You know what I mean? And I don't need to see them anymore. You've done this so many times.
Nobody outside of Stone Cold Steve Austin is anybody that I haven't seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and also pay The Rock.
Yeah, right. Right. That's the only person that's actually going to move a needle, but you can't. And we didn't even do anything interesting, right? There was nothing interesting that we did.
Kelly won the 24/7 title.
Right, and that's not interesting. And it's like Ric Flair and John Cena were both there, and we didn't even do a thing with them.
Right.
And it's like, how, Like, if you're not going to have the old guys put over the young guys and you're just going to have these segments, why in the blue hell did the two 16-time world champions...
And even, like, little stuff. Like, you talk about backstage segments. Little stuff. Have them go out backstage, right?
Yeah.
And, hey, you know who that is? Look who's backstage. Wild card rule. Nothing matters in this company. It's Kofi Kingston.
Right.
And you have Ric Flair and John Cena go up to Kofi Kingston and look at him and you go and tap the belt and go, that right there, that's really history. And then you go like, oh, look at what they did. You
right.
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
Look at these two all-timers who are like, hey, Kofi, look, we get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, that's how you use legends.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like, come on, man, Ric Flair can't put anybody in the figure four anymore.
Nope.
No. Be creative, man.
Right. Well, it's the same thing with Kevin Owens and Stone Cold. It's the same thing. At no point did anything get physical in the way that I wanted to use Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he can still go out there and talk about how great it was hanging out with all the old people.
No, we do that off the air.
You know what I mean?
We do that off the air.
Sure.
Because you know what? You're right. Let's say he can't go out there and be physical. Then, I mean, I can write this in 30 seconds. So Stone Cold Steve Austin's out there, right? And he's having a grand old time and he's having a blast. And then here come the McMahons. Hey, we don't, you know, drink it on my show and this ain't about you, right? And then just out walks Kevin Owens with a purpose, stuns them both, and then Steve Austin throws him a beer and goes, God damn. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
That's, I wrote that in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's, again, that's how we use people. That's how we use people. Also, why was Alicia Fox there?
Yeah, right.
She's a legend in her own right.
What?
She's been on the roster for like 13 years.
I just like having the idea that she just went out there on her own because of that fact.
Yeah, she just was like, I'm a legend. And no one invited Alicia Fox.
The
good things about it, like I said, though, I guess it's fun to see these people, but I got to admit, I don't mean to just be like, that wasn't my intention tonight. But in 2003-ish, they had this incredible balance where they brought in a definitely not prime, but definitely not done Ric Flair, right?
Yes.
And that guy could still go and participate and be part of Evolution, and you felt it and it worked,
yeah, right?
And they could bring in a guy like Classy Freddie Blassie to do nothing physical but just be like, here is the bridge to our past.
Yes.
And you didn't see Classy Freddie Blassie very much. If he was there, it was a big deal. Ric Flair was here and part of stuff, but ultimately always working people. And we had this terrific balance, right? And now I just think everybody's old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, all the legends, like, people, I can't think of anybody, and I mean it, other than The Rock, from that like era, like that's actually sellable, that could just like jump in and go. Like I said, Ric Flair was 20 years past his prime, but 10 years from being done in 2003.
It feels like Vince McMahon is like the parent of somebody in their 30s, right? Where it's just like, I still think you're a kid and you don't understand things. And it's just like, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm 30.
I'm the age you were when you had me.
Right. And so it's like, yeah, like I have my own house and my own car and insurance. So like, I don't need your advice, but no matter what, it's just like, no, you're a kid and you can't do it. And it's just like, that's insane. And that's how I feel the WWE roster is right now. Where
that's a good comparison.
Where it's like, yeah, no. We can't have Kevin Owens and Kofi Kingston and actually lean into these people as stars because they're just kids. And it's just like, I don't know. They're all like in their mid-30s and really good at this. But
I've been doing it for 15 years.
But yeah, no, Ric Flair is definitely still where it's at.
Right. And then there's the bigger point where it's just like, this is like a microcosm of the Saudi thing where it's just like, he'll go like, look, ratings are just fine. You guys were wrong the whole time. It's just like, we're not going to bring back Steve Austin every week. And so this is not an actual barometer of how your audience is feeling and how they're consistently viewing your show. This is a weird blip on the spike on the radar,
right.
And it's not fair. You know what I mean? Because Saudi Arabia, you go, look how much money we're making. And I go, yeah, because some prince just handed you a check for like $100 million. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, that's usually not how house shows go.
Yeah, right.
But when it comes to the reunion itself, as we get ready to jump over to patreon.com/newageinsider, sign up now. We have a lot of fun over there. And appreciate the support. So like, I want to like be excited because I want to be like, oh, cool. Like these people I like, but here's my yeah, but with almost everybody I saw, right? So Ric Flair, you make me sad because you look like grandpa's going to die. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, any day.
Right? And so Ric Flair, look at him and you go, you just made me sad, buddy. I look at, you know, like
Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, I don't like you.
I don't want to see you anymore, buddy. You make me feel icky. Everybody doesn't want to see us, so it just brings the whole experience down. Let's just not do Hulk Hogan anymore. And then, like, it's stuff like DX. You done it. You did it. You had a reunion 10 years ago where they wrestled a little bit. You've had so many. They come out. Yeah. They did the tank thing again on the thing with the Raw, and everything's a big deal. I don't need to see DX anymore. That gimmick died 18 right. years ago, and its prime was over 20 years ago. And, you know, again, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash looking terrible. I don't need to see that. And it's not fun anymore that these old dudes just go out and make me feel old and look old. And then the whole yeah, but about it is that you look at them, and I'm going to bring it right back to The Simpsons, where if there was an episode where it was just like, all right, Simpsons fans, you really can't miss this one. Even if you haven't watched in 20 years, you can't miss this one. And it was just the writers sitting around being like, oh, remember Mr. Plow? Or how about the one where Bart got an elephant? And I don't think any of us will ever forget who shot Mr. Burns. And it's like, so instead of making something awesome and new, right. all you did was bring up the old stuff and have a nostalgia fest for a couple hours and remind me, unfortunately,
that this was better,
that this used to be so much better. And it's still the guts of the car. You know what I mean? And why haven't I had that kind of fun in a long time? And is it because wrestling is for WWE is for a younger audience and I'm getting older? Maybe. But I also just think that, like,
no, because wrestling is wrestling, right? And
it's really actually not for kids.
Well, maybe. It could be for everybody, because AEW is a thing that
I just don't think. But not a knock on them. Goldust vs. Cody Rhodes isn't for children,
right?
Where they bleed out like shot deer.
Yeah,
that's maybe. It's not a kids show.
Maybe, but the thing is that show could be for that. The kids thing is not even that. The problem is that the most fun I've had in wrestling over the past few years is either an NXT show or The Real Answer was All In. Right. That was the last time that I had a really good time at a wrestling show, was when I went to All In, because nothing in that show had any hyper violence.
You know, the most violent thing was Janela and Paige.
Right. And that had a story. So all of it made sense,
yep.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, man, I think that your brand is no longer what I'm looking for, because you don't know what your brand is.
I don't disagree. Again, I bring it back to The Simpsons, where it's like, I want to love you forever. And like one day The Simpsons will go off the air and I'm going to be heartbroken, even though I've checked out, kind of idea. But like, yeah, I just look at it and I go like, yeah, there they all are. There's Mr. Plow. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's Santa's Little Helper, and there's Bartman, and there's Radioactive Man. Look at them. Those are all my old favorite episodes, and they don't write them like that anymore. And I'm not telling you not to like Raw, because again, this roster is great, and I do think that Heyman's done a great job. It's just the goal was to make you feel good about the old school days, and right. what it did to me personally was just make me reflect more poorly on what they got going on now. Because
right.
again, well, they could have solved so many things if Austin had just watched Kevin Owens give people stunners and go like, "God damn, you're the guy." You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
We accomplished something.
Well, and it's like the flip side is that all of these characters, you're like, wow, I really am excited for Stone Cold Steve Austin and the music and everything. And then on the flip side is the guy that you're having me claim to be the guy, Seth Rollins, was like, oh, Brock Lesnar, big and dumb. And it's just like, wow, that's stupid.
Yeah, and not only that, but then it's just like little things like, you know, you had DX and the NWO in the ring hugging and everything, and Seth Rollins was just like, yeah, I'm here, I'm cool too. Look, I'm hanging out with the cool kids. Look, yeah. I'm cool. Look at all these cool people. They think I'm cool. Because yeah. Seth Rollins isn't a star. He's a very, very, very good wrestler.
Even though the last time that we saw him in Triple H hanging out, they didn't like each other.
Right. Well, why? I mean, exactly. And The Undertaker should have a big, big problem with Roman Reigns, and he doesn't. And Triple H should have a big problem with Seth Rollins, and he doesn't, because that's not a priority right now for them.
Yes.
But, you know, the reality, too, is like, man, next time I guess Alicia Fox retired. Thank you, Colin. I still not exactly sure should be in the ring with Ric Flair. There I said it, but here we go. The reality too is just like, what are you going to do next time? When you have like the Raw 25 or the three,
we already did that.
Raw 30 or the 4 millionth Raw. I mean, they only get older, man.
Yeah.
They only get older.
The boogeyman isn't actually a legend.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's the thing, is that no one is from that era. Carlito Caribbean Cool isn't. You know what I mean? Mr.
MVP.
Kennedy. You don't talk to MVP or Mr. Kennedy.
Hey, look, he has a right to be pissed. Randy Orton should have been there.
Yeah.
If John Cena is going to be there, Randy Orton should have been there.
Well, doesn't that tell you something, too, about what they want you to think about John Cena?
Yeah. Oh,
The past.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's not going to win that 17th title.
I know.
He's not.
I know.
That's like, so wild.
Like, when we used to have honest-to-God debates about whether he would get to 20, right. And, like, we're being sincere, he won't hit 17. He won't.
No.
He won't, because they don't want him to be a champion-level guy ever again.
Yeah.
It's Roman Reigns. Or somebody else.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Even though John Cena's title run is exactly what they need right now.
Like, it's just like, that guy got to one bottle of beer.
I know.
And he just stopped singing.
I know.
you know what I mean? Like, unbelievable. So. But we hope that you believe us when we tell you that we're going to patreon.com/newageinsiders right now. We're going to be talking about the 25th anniversary of the Tower of Terror. I'm sure there's going to be more bleed over of this, because it's crazy how much that reunion actually made sense. We just sort of talk and have a great time. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun over patreon.com/newageinsiders. If you subscribe right now on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV, we'll send you a link, but we have something important to get to that we've been kind of drum rolling throughout the day. Go for it.
So yeah. Go for it, Bill.
So as all you guys are very aware by now, I'm a huge Disney fan. Both myself and my girlfriend, Danny, who most of you are also familiar with, try to get down there as much as possible.
You can bring yourself up full screen, bud.
I got it.
You got like off to the side. Go
full
screen.
That's all right. I got you guys on there, too. It's a place where we kind of just regularly visited as children. We love as adults, and maybe someday we'll bring our own children. But it's been a while
foreshadowing.
It's been a while since we've been able to go, and it's kind of been our little escape over the course of our lives and our relationship, and a place that makes us both really, really happy. And so as someone who grew up in the heat, the Boston weather has been kind of nuts for her. And as someone who grew up here who hates the winter, this place never kind of really felt right for me. So in recent weeks, there was an amazing opportunity that arose for her, and she was offered an opportunity to transfer her current job to Orlando, Florida. And so I too also have an amazing opportunity that just came about in recent days for me down there as well. It was a hard, very, very hard thing to pass up. I had to think long and hard about this decision, which frankly ended up being one of the hardest ones I've ever had to make, because these two gentlemen in the room with me have been a major part of my life for the last 4.5 years since I came aboard this operation, running the show on a small coffee table in the living room. And they're two of the best friends that I ever made. And we lived together, we traveled together, we busted our asses together, and I wouldn't change a second of the last half decade spent with these two guys for anything in the world. To the amazing fans, those listening live, and those listening whenever you may hear this, we couldn't have done what we would have done without you guys. We went from, like I said, like a coffee table podcast.
Broadcasting in space?
Fucking space. That was pre-me, though.
Yeah, it was.
To a full-on live stream video production with a beautiful set, thanks to you guys' generous, incredible support. Real quick, I also want to thank Lee Morgan and Corey Ponce, real quick, who were there from the very beginning of my podcasting days. And were a huge reason of why I ended up meeting these two guys in the first place when we did a live SummerSlam roundtable with Mike Wendt in my parents' basement, and this thing kind of grew from there. So I've been contemplating something like this for a long time and didn't want to pull the trigger unless it was the best opportunity for me to do so, and now is the perfect time. So here's the announcement that I was teasing. So on September 20th, Danny and I will be moving to Orlando, Florida, to pursue new career opportunities and to be in a central hub where both of our immediate families love to visit. She especially needs that, since she's seen her family 3 times in the last 2 years. She sacrificed that for me, and now it's kind of my turn to give back. And the situation that has arisen recently could not have worked out any better. So at least as far as the live Wednesday show is concerned, as of mid-September, I will not be a part of the operation anymore. There'll be internal discussions over the coming days, what's next for the NEI brand going forward. But as soon as something is concrete, I'm sure we'll bring it to you guys. But so to Jason, Liam, and all you guys out there, it's been one hell of an experience. It's not over yet, but I wanted to take this time to bring all, you all some exciting personal news and to say an emphatic thank you.
Yeah, so we are super happy here at New Age Insiders Entertainment for Bill and Danny. They're definitely going to have a great time down in Orlando, Florida. It's always sad losing a friend, not in like death, because that's always like super sad, but like, you know, friends that are moving away and going on to greener stuff. The good thing is that in, you know, much like, you know, it is 2019, so it is easier to stay connected than ever before. You know, the group chat doesn't have to go away. You don't have to leave or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, opportunities arise, and, you know, that's how the cookie kind of crumbles, especially on this level of production. So, you know, the best of luck to both of you. As far as everybody that is out there in podcast land wondering what this means, we still have to sit down and kind of figure out what this means. You know, a lot of you are friends with Bill on social medias,
yep.
And so he can't make an announcement to other friends that don't follow this without spoiling it, so we wanted to let you guys know before, you know,
I said anything to those people.
He had to say things to, like, you know, the people that live down there that he's friends with already, or the friends that are here that he's friends with. So we still have to kind of figure out what that means for New Age Insiders Entertainment, and we have to talk about that. So, you know, nothing is set in stone one way or the other, but as soon as we know, we'll let you know. But for the meantime, you know, everybody say, Bill, you're awesome, and we'll see you over on patreon.com.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's do this.
Yeah. My name is Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter every day, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website where you can find everything what we got going on is newageinsiders.com. We're on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. Every Wednesday at 8, and you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
That's for you, Bill.
Thank you.